Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for Ask Me Anything Chill Show. A sentient potato was saying, "JF, I want to buy TRP and read it when I have some extra cash. What level of biological understanding will I need to comprehend it? I am a college dropout. Is that good enough?" It should be totally fine. I think I've designed this book so that anyone could read it. You don't need prior knowledge. However, if you want to understand the importance of it, it's not a bad thing to read the selfish gene first, maybe the extended phenotype if you really want to get into it, and then the revolutionary phenotype. However, it's not needed. I wrote it so that you would understand it if you've read nothing before. But it can be good to know what was on the table before I came in. And for that reason, you can read Richard Dawkins first. Purple Tuna says, "What's the deal with Russia annexing provinces they don't even fully control? Zaporizhzhia, Donetsk. Are we to understand now that Ukrainian control of parts of those they will consider occupation of sovereign Russian territory and respond accordingly? Ukraine just forced Russian troops out of Lyman, city in Donetsk. Will Russians take this now as invasion of Russia proper?" It's pretty much the technical thing that Vladimir Putin pulled. It's that basically he has declared that those are parts of Russia and there were already Ukrainians on there. So that would qualify as invading forces, terroristic forces from the perspective of Russia. But I don't think it's the plan of Vladimir Putin to pull this, to pull a, "Oh, well, DPR is ours now, and the next day, nuclear bomb because you're in DPR." I think he's going to be extremely tolerant of this invading force. And I think he still considers the fight to be winnable without nuclear war. So I think that what we're going to see is he's going to try to beat the Ukrainians in this counteroffensive using traditional means, and only as a last recourse he would go for nuclear stuff. I think that when you declare a new political reality, you're also conscious that the facts of the world take time to adjust. It takes time for a force like the Ukrainians to eventually consider, okay, this is off limits. And so I don't see Vladimir Putin trying to pull a, "Oh, well, it's ours now, and therefore you're attacking us." Haha, that's a little too childish for what we've seen up to now. I think that Putin still has this conception of himself as a traditional warrior, and he wants to win this with the means of traditional warfare. Hermit Ham has sent a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, "Jeff, you've stated that you've figured people out and that you generally don't like them. Are there aspects about yourself that stand out that you don't like? I'm curious about the misanthropic perspective on oneself." On one's self. Well, I don't think that the misanthropic perspective applies to the self. Because I don't hate myself. I hate interacting with beings. But that is not a statement about beings so much. It's a statement about interactions. Because I don't hate myself. I don't hate my family. What I hate is the social aspect of it all. And that's the only interface you have when you interact with other beings. I'm actually interested in human beings when I can get to their true selves and what they are deep inside. But I'm not interested at the social interface. So if you want to understand misanthropy, probably the best way to understand it is that way, where it's not a hate of the being themselves. It's a hate of every interaction that you could have with the being, except a full understanding of them and what they're about for real. Because I like documentaries about human beings. I like understanding someone who has been in a special situation, and I want to have their insight. But I don't like interacting with them. That is a better phrase. John Drake says Putin will only go nuclear if NATO steps in. Exactly. I think that he's going to handle the flows of Ukrainian pushes, and he's going to see how his army is capable of responding and pushing them back. And it's only if the war becomes so obviously unfair as to involve other countries that I think he would be tempted then. Charles Garrity says, small talk with random people in public is quite annoying and pointless. I rather observe others through nature. Yes, exactly. That's what I think. I watched Utopia finally because it had been asked of me by Super Chatter in many Super Chats. I finally felt obligated to watch it. It sucks. It's not interesting. It is not something that I will watch continuously. It's a story of a comic books cult. And Firestarter says, no, the UK version, Jeff. I can give a listen to the UK version. My guess is it's going to be worse. Because this is a American remake, is that it? Yeah, you said the UK version, but my guess is it's going to be worse. The UK doesn't know how to make pity series. So, okay. Tonight I will watch the first episode of the UK version, only to realize that a bad script is a bad script, no matter who films it. Listen, I have no interest in a bizarre graphic novel that gathers a cult following, and then they want to buy this graphic novel, and then there are secret agents running after them. It's what it is. It doesn't seem interesting at all. I'm going to give a try to the UK version because you say so. Stephen J. James says, what is this Anglo hate? Well, the UK, you know, has never really made it into producing quality art. Ever. Because who were the big European pianists and musicians? They were not English. So the English are these kind of bizarre people that left the European land for this island, and they have never succeeded at anything other than production and industrial revolution. Okay, good job, keep it up. But you've never become a people of creation. They don't know how to make movies, they don't know how to make titty series. I don't know of any. Do you know of an English musician? I mean, of course, they will list you all the pop rock stars of the 60s, but that is not good music. Have you ever known a brilliant, genius musician in England? I don't. Purple Tuna says, how can a referendum be held in a province? Yeah, Shakespeare. Okay, Shakespeare would be the last time, the last peak of the Anglo-civilization. It's a long time ago, you know? Okay, good job, Shakespeare. You were an artist of twisting the English language in some original way. Bravo. Every single Frenchman does this. Purple Tuna says, how can a referendum be held in a province where half of province is occupied by your sworn enemy? In a province under war with large swaths of population displaced, was there mail-in voting? Do they get to claim the referenda were invalid if they had mail-in voting like we did with Trump? I think that the importance of the referendum is to be ignored. It doesn't matter. Really, those areas were dominated by war, and they didn't consent to be in the Ukraine of 2014. And so you could also revert your thinking toward the Ukrainians. Did these people consent to be in the Ukraine that has ousted Yanukovych, that has been taken over by a coup? They didn't. So when it's war, and it's ultimately war that determines the outcome. The referenda, whether they were clean or not clean, or whether they were consensual or not consensual, none of this matters, because the very state of these places inside Ukraine was not approved consensually either. The very fact of being in a country that has ousted one of its democratically elected president via violence, how are you going to ensure that these people wanted to be in Ukraine in the first place? So it's all a subject for war. It all boils down to might, and that's what matters. White. I sent $21. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, did Jean-Paul Sartre say hell is others, l'enfer c'est les autres, because he was French and everyone he knew was French? No, I think that Jean-Paul Sartre was truly a misanthrope. And there's something super deep and super real about this l'enfer c'est les autres statement. First, because of this kind of childish, self-referential belief that, hey, if everyone was like me, things would be so much better. You know how children often will say this when they reach some kind of moral reasoning, they realize, oh, well, the issue is that no matter what I think, if I cannot impose it on everyone around me, then there's going to be a difference, and that difference is hell. That difference is what seeds social misalignment, the unharmony. So that's kind of an intellectualization of this conception that if because societies feel and look more stable if a given set of rule is applied equally, inevitably your internal intellectual and moral code, if it could be harmonized with every single person around you, you would have a more stable society, a society where the patterns of morality are extremely predictable and converge toward always the same thing. So there's the theory. Of course, in practice, you are a moral agent. Whatever it is that you believe and you act, people will not act to imitate you and to harmonize with you. They will act to exploit you. And there you have the parasitic forces rising against any moral pattern you may have. If you're too generous, they're going to be committing crimes and counting on your generosity to not go to jail. If you're too severe, they will rightfully be revolted against you because you will have sent them to jail when they haven't committed a crime. So when you realize that the other is not controllable, the first childish reaction is, oh, wouldn't it be great if I could control them? And then the more mature reaction is to understand that any system that spreads and that harmonizes a given number of human beings will have its flaws and will eventually lead to an evolutionary response on the other side, on whatever force of exploitation shows up. L'enfer c'est les autres also means hell is others, also means that the problems of internal self-consistent systems comes when they start interfacing. So you can have all of your beliefs sorted out, but when you put them into debate mode, when you expose them to a challenge from a really contrarian view, then you can discover hell in your own ideas. So the hell of others, the contrarian force that comes to annihilate your systems of belief that seemed so beautiful when they were in your head, is the real challenge for knowledge and for true development of a kind of a contrarian resistant belief. Some random bloke sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, hey, JF, did you see our Jewish friends included a Mossad agent in Marvel Universe? Okay, let's have a look. Why Marvel's Mossad superheroine Sabra is all kinds of wrong. It cloaks Israel's state savagery against Palestinians in a cape and undoes Marvel's move towards humane stories. Not surprising that the Hollywood and production side eventually will feature. I mean, they've been doing this with the American Army forever. They make, basically, they promote the American Army and American Army recruitment through Hollywood, and they will do the same now with Israel if they want to be more open about it, more open about what state truly controls the American military. So I'm not surprised. It's not shocking. It's expected. There's been this has been done more under the carpet forever. You know, the big concept of having the evil terrorist always being Arabs. There's a reason why in a movie of the 90s, it was always this. It was always a terrorist Arab or terrorist Nazi. I'm thinking of Die Hard here. I'm including the Nazis because either they were Germans or they were Arabs. Eventually, they converge toward all Arab villains, and that is to be expected. Perhaps we're going to get a comeback of the Russian villains in the current Hollywood. Charles Garrity says, I sent a $10 tip. Hope you received it. I receive many tips offline while I'm not live. Thank you so much. Now, when did you send this? If you want me to check, I can check, but I will need some detail on when you sent it because the list of tips is very hard to consult on Odyssey. I don't even know. So, where is it? Creator, settings. Content settings. Transactions. All right. Anyways, I did receive many of those $1, $10 tips. Let's say I do currency only. It's super hard to consult. Super hard amount. They don't even say it's from who. I have a very hard to consult, my friend. You're gonna need to give me a date. He says, thank you, JF, it's good. Well, I wanted to give you an answer, but yeah, it you would need to give me a date. Because I'm seeing a big list of $10, $1, 50 cents. A lot of people are contributing to the show offline when it's not live. Purple Tuna says, Jeff, what are these earthworks on Crimea? They're huge. I posted more pics and my analysis in your Discord. Well, I've seen those pics that you had shared on the Discord. I don't know, and I was kind of annoyed at the fascination. Like, okay, there are massive movements of tanks, bombardments, army move, and you guys are like, oh my god, the geography is changing. Let's look at the satellites. This must be something. Well, of course, this must be something. I don't have them right in front of me, but I remember seeing your post. Yeah, theaters of war will be places where there's digging, where there's tanks rolling on nature, and so the grass is dying and there's some buildings showing up. I wouldn't be surprised that Crimea has been used as a launch pad, and so they could have built launch pads. They could have built just a storage space for tanks. I have no interest, zero interest in the mystery here. Of course, when you make war, you have a lot of space needs. Quite What? Since $31, thank you so much. He says, Jeff, my dad once told me and my brother we were gonna eat dessert before dinner, and he called it being French. Is that something the French do, or did my dad say that because eating dessert first is backwards from the norm and he was insulting the French? Yeah, I don't think it's a French thing. Never heard of this. Perhaps there would be a cake in the afternoon, and then that would constitute the first appetizer, I guess. But it's hours before, and no, it's not a thing. However, there is something that is different with the approach to dessert. In French culture, the cheese service is after the main meal. So you get an appetizer, main meal, and then you get the cheese service, which actually preempts the dessert and sometimes replaces the dessert. So did that come from this? Anyways, the conceptions of the English people on French eating are absolutely unfounded. Like, first, entrée. Entrée for you means main meal. It's an error, because entrée means appetizer in French. So it should be the first thing you eat, the little thing to get started. But somehow you guys took the word for appetizer and you've put it on your main meal, and now you eat an entree. The idea of frog legs, it's not something that's super common, although you can eat frog legs. It's not like the French are loving frog legs or anything. And yes, I hear so many misconceptions on the English side. All right. Surialoka wonders why White sends his super chats in increments with $1 always after the multiple of 10. That is because White has discovered a great pleasure at having me pronunciate the H's and the O's and all of the words that start with white. And he has discovered that by forcing a $1 more on each of his donation, he gets a supplementary pleasure. Not only am I reading his white nickname, I'm also adding 31. And so that's my understanding. People are reporting FFF. The show is cutting for some people. Hopefully we recover. We've been tending to recover very much, very quick. Purple Tuna says, muck as you wish. That was nowhere near the front to be where earthworks. And again, the structures are huge, many 10 kilometers wide. Tank position dug-ins you build to be as little noticeable from air. The opposite of these, and again, they are in the middle of Crimea, where no battle ever taken on land. Yeah, but exactly, you would need Crimea. You would need a storage space, basically. Or a launch pad, or a helicopter landing space of some kind, or a launch pad for missiles. That's what struck my mind as possibly the explanation. Could also be just, you know, Russian development of buildings. I mean, you have to these societies keep operating. They have to construct things. So it's a construction site, and maybe it extends over 10 kilometers. Dangerous Minds, I've been watching the movie. Not as interesting as I thought it would be in retrospect. It's just a little cute movie of a white savior who goes into an uneducated, rough part of the school system. And there isn't much. There isn't much about this. It's not particularly profound. It's just a white, cute woman who becomes a teacher in a rough class, and they eventually get changed by her, and they beg her to stay. And some guy gets killed. Not much of a a deep introspection on racial questions in the US or whatever. I thought it would be that, but it's not this. Valet says, is Coolio even in the movie? I don't think so. As far as I know, he is merely the singer. DK Shadow says, per female fantasy. Yeah, you're right. It's a very feminine movie. You know, with the fat teacher guy being friend zoned absolutely, but kind of still, you know, as a super beautiful woman, she still takes his arm to say like, oh yeah, I'm gonna give you the feeling of walking hand in hand with a cute woman, even if like he's a 1 out of 10 and she's a 10 out of 10. That typically comes from the female mind, this kind of I'm giving you a chance. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey Jeff, a while ago I totally jumped ship from Styx to your show. He talks about immigrants eventually voting red, says trans is okay with the exception of perverts, and believes Dems are the real racist. Would you ever debate him on these issues? You might gain more viewership. Yeah, I'd be open. I mean, Styx, I'm always open to any debate. The last time we debated, it was more of a conversation. It was more friendly. Listen, whether immigrants will eventually vote red. Technically, maybe that's true, but by this time, voting red, like by this time, the Republican Party will be to the left of the current Democrat Party. So there's your problem. Yeah, there is a base within the immigrant population willing to be charmed by some sort of family conservatism. And the Hispanic base is likely to respond to this. However, you face a lot of problems. They like socialism, so if they ever get to vote in massive numbers Republican, the Republicans will have completely abandoned any conception of a small state. So you're going to have basically conservative-minded family men, but who are totally for an expansion of the state, and by this time it's not right-wing anymore. So that's a big problem. Now the question, trans is okay. I don't think we should combat trans people. I think that if they want to do this as adults, they should be let to do this. So in that sense, I also say trans is okay. But we have to be extremely careful not to let this become social contagion, not to have pamphlets and activism for it. Ultimately, if just someone as an adult decides to be trans, I don't take issue with this. It's like, I would like these people to pass through a system that forces them to be fully informed about what they're doing. Like, I would like them to talk to people like me who say, look, maybe you're desperate right now and everything, but there might be a chance that you make a baby at some point. Are you sure you want to skip on that chance? And if they really want to, I'm not against it. What I'm against is the political fight for expanding trans populations, for creating more problem than needs to be created. Because let's be clear, gender dysphoria is a problem. It's a problem for people who experience it. They go to the doctor because they want it fixed. How could we make a world that favors and that develops more gender dysphoria in our youth? That is extremely dangerous and to be combated. And then Dems are the real racist. It's interesting. Interesting, because there is something true about this. By the way, I I think they are organizing something on the Crucible, maybe against Vaush, but it will be about transhumanists, or maybe against some other transhumanist. But that should be interesting. But it's not going to be about Dems are the real racist. However, there is something about the leftist desire to give, which is rooted in a perception of lesserness. So the leftist wants a victim and sometimes want to be included within the victims, but most importantly, the leftist mind thinks that you need help and thinks that the people who would receive their welfare need their help. And this requires inherently a sense of superiority. And you can see it when the subject of IQ comes. See how, take a Jordan Peterson, for example, which for my purpose is a leftist. Jordan Peterson once said about race and IQ, well, he didn't even say the word race, but he was clearly thinking about this, where he said, you know, then we get into the IQ question and it becomes horrible, the results of the research we have. Horrible. And there you go. There you have captured the fact that Jordan Peterson cannot respect someone having low IQ. He really thinks they are handicapped in some way. And I don't. I don't care. Now, if you compare me and Jordan Peterson and our approach to IQ, Jordan Peterson flees reality, doesn't want to discuss it, says there must be a rectangle of acceptable discourse and claims of superiority must not be made, and so the truth must be hidden because it's so horrible. My approach to IQ is we should stick to the truth. It's not so horrible. It's not so horrible that a population may be at 80, 90 IQ. Doesn't matter. That's their way to live. No one is alarmed that the squirrels are at 3 IQ, okay? The squirrels are doing okay. No one, it's not a, there's not a squirrel crisis where they're like, holy shit, how do I store these nuts for the winter? There are different ways to live and there are different this ecological systems, and perhaps 80 IQ is what you need to live in some places of this planet. And in that sense, Dems are the real racist applies here, in the sense that for Jordan Peterson, it is so horrible, and oh my God, it is life, it is fatal, this idea that there are certain populations at 80 IQ. For me, it's not a problem. The Rug, the communist, is here on the Discord. Hello, Rugged. No, not Rugged Communist. What is your full name? The Rugged Communitaria. Are you there? I think you're gonna have to set up your
Hello?
earphones. Hello? Hello, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. What's up?
This is the optimistic pessimist.
Oh, okay, the optimistic pessimist. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
What did you want to talk about tonight?
I want to ask about did you ever get in touch with Brett Weinstein? About reading the Revolutionary Phenotype?
Not recently. Back in the days where I was on Twitter, I had sent him a DM, which I'm sure he has read. And he was exchanging in DMs with me, and he was kind of suggesting that I was misinformed about his previous views. And no, I had showed him in a very long DM that no, my critique holds. And anyways, it was not even about TRP, that particular critique, but In any case, I was talking about TRP in that final answer that I gave to him, but he never answered to it, and eventually I got banned from Twitter. And so that's the current status. He has to read the TRP. You cannot go on thinking that you're a current biologist and not follow the domain, not follow advancements that are actually directly addressing things that he said in the past and things that he wrote in his book. Brett Weinstein still believes that the question of embedded replicators hasn't been addressed. He still believes that the question of memes hasn't been fully worked out. But I have some news for him. It's been, and he has the book where it's been done.
Okay, I'm wondering how's the progress coming along with your new book?
I haven't done any progress lately. I've been spending too much time on family stuff and mathematics. I know it looks like a loss of time, but it's sometimes writing a book, it has to be when you feel it, and I didn't feel it in the last few months. Hopefully I can get back to it, because there's not so much work to do, but there's still plenty of work to do for it to be released.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Was there anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Bye-bye. Silver Spider says, JF, I agree trans people should be allowed to exist, but we need to make sure they are absolutely certain they want to go through with this. And of course, kids are a big no-no. Six just says their feelings are always legitimate. Oh, no, I mean, definitely. We don't do this whole trust the patient thing. We don't do it in any other domain of medicine. Just go talk about something like blood pressure, sugar levels in your blood, and your doctor will have very strong opinions about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And only in the domain of gender ideology do we say, oh, we have to fully accept what the patient believes. I'm sorry, but if misdiagnosis is a thing in other domains of medicine, misdiagnosis is going to be a thing in the trans surgeries too. There is such a, this inclusive approach basically is biased from the start to increase the numbers of people who will be processed through the surgeries and the process, which in my view should be one in a million, maybe. You know, people who would say that they are gender dysphoric in the 1900s. Like in 1910. If you're like in 1910 and you're like, I really want to dress as a woman, I really feel that I'm a woman, then okay. But if you're in 2022 and you need Instagram friends to push you one way or the other, I'm sorry. That wouldn't qualify to me for a diagnosis of gender dysphoria. Purple Tuna says in a super chat, you are a very private man and a staunch libertarian. If I was dying of thirst in front of your house, would you give me a glass of water, or would you make me pay you a €1 super chat first? Ah, if someone was in the need of help, I'm generally a helpful guy, so as long as I can help without risk. Now, if I was in Montreal or New York, I may not save you, because then I would evaluate the risk. There would be risk inherent to me getting out. But if you are in the countryside and I feel that I am safe and it's not full criminality on the streets and you really look like you need help, I would offer help. I constantly offer help and get people out of trouble. I have boosting cables that I constantly have in my car if someone needs a boost. So no, in a trusting society, there's no problem with help, because help is always with the surplus. And that is the libertarian charity. The libertarian charity is surplus and it's consensual. And you can get a lot of it. If you can let people become rich, they will have a lot of surplus to share. In fact, most of what people do ends up being sharing their surplus. But if you are in a society ruled by the state where surplus is, it makes you the devil because it's profit and they go after it with taxes, then I don't have much surplus and then I don't want to give. White sends $41. He says, JF, it's Saturday. I don't know anything about math. I don't know what a prime or natural number is. Could you tell me what the Goldbeck conjecture is using a Swiss chard and Fennel analogy? Maybe Swiss chard is the Goldbeck and Fennel is the conjecture. No. I do not see much links between Swiss chards and Fennel and the Goldbeck conjecture. I guess that you could see the Fennel, you know how the Fennel sends five branches? Like, it's really like a bulb that holds these five crooked branches in different directions. I guess that it's a little bit how the even number gets invaded by different primes that start bouncing onto various spots of the even number. I don't have a comparison of Fennel's and the Goldbeck conjecture. Fennel's are vegetable, Swiss chard are vegetable. The Goldbeck conjecture is all about an even number. You split it in two, and then you're going to find some split that are two prime numbers. For instance, 5 plus 7 gives 12. And every even number has a pair of prime numbers that can sum up to it. If you come with 48, well, then there's 11, 37. If you come with 22, 11 plus 11, all even numbers have a pair of prime that sum to them. Mark Collette was saying, I cannot understand why after decades of replacement migration, degeneracy, anti-white rhetoric, political repression, and the wholesale victimization of whites, some nationalists in the West are not celebrating the rise of a global counterbalance to the system that has set out to destroy people of European descent the world over. For some, it seems that sitting in the decaying ruins of the West, endlessly complaining and moaning about the ever-worsening situation, is preferable to any real shift in the global power balance. And I agree with this observation. And I said this. If America returns to Cold War levels of mindless anti-Russia hate, then there truly is no hope for this country. And a lot of people were discussing on Telegram about, hey, should we really be for Russia? Because Russia has a demographic problem. They are welcoming of migrants and they have a high Muslim population that is rising. And all of these critiques, they fail to understand what is good about this whole conflict. What is good is that there's a force rising against our oppressors. Our oppressors are the state. And the state, both in Western Europe, Canada, and the US, is now the enemy of white people. So any force that would rise, even if that force is criticizable under other reasons, any force should be celebrated because it's going to give a counterbalance. It's going to drag the attention of the system so that it's dragged away from us while we go on with our lives. So that was one critique in line with this, what I just mentioned. He was saying, Jeff, I don't understand why you like Putin's regime. Russia has strict hate speech laws and anti-Semitism laws. Questioning the Holocaust is illegal. Under Putin's rule, non-white Muslim population is almost 30% of Russian population. In Putin's latest speech, he was ranting about Western, read, white colonialism, racism, and shit. So that's a thing I would like to come back on. The people on Telegram who were discussing this with me, they and with other users, they were saying that Putin basically is like Antifa, because Putin complains against colonialism. I don't think you've understood the speech of Putin properly if you see it that way. Putin is not saying colonialism bad, fuck America. Putin is saying, hey, if America is going to do colonialism, we can do it too. That's what Putin is saying. Antifa is not saying this. Antifa is saying white people bad because colonialism. That's not what Putin was saying at all. Putin was simply saying, look, these countries that allow themselves to make the moral to us, they have done much worse than anything that we'll be doing. So that was an appeal to fairness and the sovereignty of nations and self-determination. That was not an Antifa, hate of white people discourse. You cannot understand the Putin speech based on Western standards. Perhaps if someone was to say this in the West, that would be a leftist statement. But from the perspective of Putin, it is an appeal for Russia to be equally respected as a superpower as America. Gray says, Putin claimed that Westerners are uniquely evil for colonialism, racism, and exploitation of brown people. Well, if the country that has done all these things was to try to give you moral lessons, it would be fair to bring it out. It's fair to say, look, what has been done under Imperial England and Imperial America is uniquely evil. That's fair. It's a true statement. Right, because those societies have been more efficient at colonialism. They have exported colonialism to reaches that no other empire have ever attained, and so there's a fair case to be made that this is a factual statement, and he's bringing that fact simply to say we're not going to take moral lessons from these people. The Bachelor says, is there a PDF version of the revolutionary phenotype? All I see are Mobi and EPUB versions. Well, the revolutionary phenotype doesn't exist in PDF. You're going to have to buy it on Amazon, and then it's Amazon Reader format. I believe that's Mobi or EPUB. I don't know. But I didn't make a PDF version intentionally. So he continues, while in Ukraine, Izium has been found mass graves. While in Ukraine, Izium has been found mass graves. Russia was mass murdering and torturing white Ukrainians. This whole white Ukrainian. I love this appeal that often happens in the dissident right. No more war between white people. When did I ever say that I feel that I'm part of the same people as Ukrainians and Russians? Because I don't. I've always been extremely clear. I'm part of the Western European nuclei of genetics, and that is a world apart from Russia. I almost feel as much Ukrainian and Russian as I do feel Indian from India. Because, I mean, if you want to go Caucasian expansion, if you want to go everyone that's not an Asian or an African, then let's do it. But would you feel that a war between India and Russia is a brother war? Because they're Caucasian? Because they're not so far from the place called Caucasus? No, I don't either feel Indian nor Russian nor Ukrainian. And this whole appeal of white identity doesn't touch me at all. To me, anyways, the whole of even what I consider to be my people, Western Europe and America, even that people won't be salvageable, most of it. So, come save us, Russia. And he continues, seems like Putin is so much interested in well-being of non-whites that he is forced to commit atrocities against white people to own the racist West. Well, that is a very big push of interpretation. Doesn't matter what the motivations of Putin are, because in my analysis, what I care about is that he gives a counterbalance to Western powers. That's all I care about. But to think that he does the Ukraine war for brown people, that is bizarre. That is just bizarre. Firestarter says this is basically a Russian civil war. What is the recruitment operation? I've watched a video from a guy who's a YouTuber and who says everyone has left Russia. Either they went at war or they fled the recruitment. And it seems that now they are kept from leaving Russia, those who couldn't get the very early tickets out. Look, there's always a bunch of people who flee the war, and that's fine. I don't judge them. I think that people do whatever they can to escape what they perceive as something they don't want to be a part of. And I'm totally fine with resistance and not wanting to be conscripted. Purple Tuna says, Jeff, why would you be annoyed with those earthworks posts? I'm only curious what they are, and I've not been able to find anywhere on the internet. So I asked the Discord members. I didn't think that it's something dramatic or alien, etc. No, I mean, I'm not annoyed to that point. I'm not annoyed to the point where it doesn't have its place on my Discord. Of course, if you're fascinated by this, you can post about it on my Discord. I don't care. But I was annoyed. I guess what makes me annoyed is to see intelligent people lose time on things for which there's at least 10,000 possible explanations that are uninteresting. It's like, hey, bro, have you seen the earthworks in some lost town of Tennessee? Oh yeah, well, they might be building a superstore. They might be building a Walmart, a gigantic thing, a Costco. It's like, holy shit. If you have intelligent, you're in my community, and I know you must be very intelligent. You're losing your time on analyzing earthworks that could be a civil construction that has nothing to do, or it could be a military construction, and yet it's not interesting still. It's just the lack of interest and the loss of time that I perceive in this fascination. Russian gas stops flowing to Italy after a problem in Austria. Russian energy giant Gazprom suspended natural gas deliveries to Eni S.p.A., Italy's largest oil company, on Saturday. Gazprom informed that it is not able to confirm the gas volumes requested for today, stating that it's not possible to supply gas through Austria. So, it seems that this is the path of Transgas. So the Nord Stream, of course, was blown up. You have these alternative routes for Russia to send gas, but now some of these routes are losing functionality, and particularly this line here, unable to serve. It looks like the possibilities of Russian export are taken out one by one. I don't know if we'll find out that it's ultimately an explosion or an act of vandalism. But Russia will have basically this whole operation, this whole war is all about this. This actually gives you more insight than any speculation around Putin and Trump and NATO and crap and crap. They've done this, and now they're doing this. And watch it. This is the next one. there's just a bunch of people in our elites that have decided Russia is not going to be furnishing energy to Europe. That's it. And the rest is all blah, blah, and, oh, yeah, Ukraine and sovereignty and liberty and democracy and porn in Ukraine. It's all about energy flow. John Drake says, JF, did you hear that Chicago prosecutors declined to charge anyone in a gang shootout that killed two people, calling it mutual combat? Yeah, I remember covering that news. That was like 6 months ago, wasn't it? Or maybe a couple of months ago. Yeah, I remember this decision, mutual fighting. This is amazing how the prosecutors show discretion in this. And it's like, they take this excuse. I've had a case where I was assaulted. And merely, you know, just defended myself. And I was like, well, here's a guy who assaulted me. Here's a guy who entered my home. Certainly a crime has been committed here. And they ended up making up these excuses. Like, oh, well, you fought bad, so it was mutual fighting. But I didn't even fight back. I just protected myself. Like, if I do this, suddenly the assault is not an assault anymore. They pulled that kind of trick on me. And I've seen the total injustice of the criminal system. I have been the victim of an act of violence, absolutely clear shot, home invasion, physical attack, and nothing bad happened to me in the end, but I couldn't get a case going on this in North Carolina. Couldn't get a case going on this. At some point, the prosecutor were so lazy and the police were trying to find all sorts of excuse for why they shouldn't sue. I said, is there a process for a private citizen to just start a criminal case? And there was one. So I went through the process and they're like, only if it's a misdemeanor. And I'm like, okay, well, at least we're going to get a misdemeanor case started. I go to fill all the paper to talk to the guy who is directly the officer of the court. And I'm like, I'm a private citizen. I want to start a misdemeanor case. And I start describing my case. And he's like, well, that's not a misdemeanor. That's like severe felony, your stuff. So you cannot start the case yourself. Private citizens in North Carolina can only start a minor thing, a misdemeanor, but what you're describing here, home invasion and physical attack, that's a severe felony. There's like 20 years of prison for this. So go see the police. And I'm like, I've already talked to the police. They come up with all sorts of excuses not to start a case. And so he's like, okay, well, now that you've described it under oath in front of me, I'm going to call the police. So the officer of the court calls the police. The police agent comes and, okay, I'm going to take it very in much detail, everything you say. He typed all that I said, all of my claims, which the officer of the court was like, this is a felony. I cannot take it from a private citizen. It needs to be the police. And then they called me 3 days later. After investigation, we have determined that it was mutual fighting. So mutual fighting, bro, I'm in my house. There's a stranger who attacks me. How is that mutual fighting? Anyways, I've lost total trust of the system of police, criminality, prosecutor. They are absolutely, and back in the days, I was not a political influencer, so it's not like they were doing this because I'm right wing, but they were just incompetent and evil. They were just not. It's like they were trying to have as less crime as they could. And there needs to be an incentive in the system for these people to get activated, to look for every possible crime. Purple Tuna says, I fucking hate it when the police basically act as the advocates of one's attacker. I've had similar experiences. It's infuriating. Anarcho-tyranny at its worst. Yeah. And it, yes, it was really a stranger raised fist. if we're going to get this kind of anarcho-tyranny, I would rather have full anarchy. You know, let me defend myself. If the state is not going to be there for me, because I do all correctly, I keep everything clean. I have recordings of it. I don't commit acts of aggression that would be interpreted as initiating the fight. So I do everything clean, and every time I do this, I end up either in front of the police or the judge, and the system doesn't give me fairness. The system cannot treat me fairly. It's unbelievable. White sends $51. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, Jeff, once back in 2018 or 2019, I think you said culture is a genetically inherited trait. Is that statement true? Can you explain more on it, whether true or false? Well, I wouldn't say it that way, because if you say it that way, the leftists are going to come and say, oh, what about the letter E? Like, if you raise your child in a cage without contact to any human beings, he's never going to get the letter E from English. And so what I said and what I think is that culture, the ability to record culture and to transmit it, is genetically inherited. And our particular approach to our particular culture is genetically inherited and genetically influenced. So you have kind of an open space in the brain, a kind of SSD drive, if you will. Nature has made it such. It has made it such that you would have space in that hard drive for whatever your parents tell you and whatever other adults tell you and whatever your friends tell you. And that you would not take it all like a blank slate. You would analyze it, filter it, reject it at times, depending on your behavioral and moral preferences. And you would integrate the best distillation of information from this cultural pudding that you're exposed to. But every single step along the way, from recording the fact to stating it, to transmitting it, to wanting to transmit it, to not wanting to transmit it, to filtering it and analyzing it and to getting rid of it or to integrate it for real, all of these things are all genetically encoded. You know, a squirrel will not transmit an element of human culture. And the reason is the squirrel has DNA that's different than you. Take a squirrel zygote, put human DNA in it, and the being that will emerge from this process will want to hear about culture and will want to transmit culture. So yes, it boils down to the gene. Now, people think because it boils down to the gene, it's a negation that people want to see culture as this thing completely independent of gene. But it's not. Culture is circulating. It's a part of the environment, but it's a part of the environment that we take and that we project onto our children. The same way we take nutrients from the environment and we project it onto our children through boobs and breastfeeding and other processes of food sharing. So we are sharing culture with our children the same way we are sharing foods with our children, and the reason are genes. James says every human has the letter E with the very structure of our mouth and vocal cord, so it is genetic. Yeah, that's another thing. I don't know much about very distant languages from English, but I wouldn't be surprised that something like a he, something like a E, exists in most languages. Nord Stream, Sweden finds new leak in Russian gas pipeline. That was 2 days ago, but I had missed this news. A new leak, so another site where there was perhaps further damage. Faced with acts of sabotage, EU countries rush to secure energy assets. Multiple explosions under the Baltic Sea and the rupture of the Nord Stream pipeline system from Russia to Germany appear to be sabotage, NATO and EU officials said this week. A fourth leak was confirmed Thursday on the pipelines as EU countries are in overdrive to secure energy infrastructure that could be future targets. The main message sent by this act, described as sabotage, is the vulnerability of all this equipment. So there's someone who really wants Europe to be completely cut off energy. Not even the side, the land-based, the transfers that could happen through Italy. It's not looking good for this winter for Europe. Purple Tuna says, Jeff, your flags behind are Quebec and USA, but you don't have the flag of the only country you are actually a citizen of, Canada. Why? Yeah, I didn't like Canada when I made this video that plays behind me. Maybe we should refresh. Maybe we should refresh the TV. I don't think I could put a Russian flag. I think they would eventually. They would probably try to bomb me or something, try to put me in jail, or maybe enact a new Canada law that the Russian flag is a symbol of hate. So I'm being careful with what I put in there because Canadian legislators are very quick on the trigger to declare something a new hate symbol. So I was like, this is safe. The Quebec flag. Gonna take a while before it's ever a hate symbol. The American flag, it's going to be a sensitive thing for Canada to make it a symbol of hate. But yeah, anything original from the internet that I put on there, like the Kyrgyzstan flag, that would probably get me in trouble with the legislator. But yeah. Callum Oxworth says $100 donation if you put a Union Jack. I can't really do that for $100, because I think that the Canadian government might actually sue me, and I don't want to get in trouble. I don't think that the Union Jack is a symbol of hate, but by the modern standard, I mean they are including it in symbols of hate. And that would be a problem in Canada. FDA withholding autopsy results on people who died after getting the COVID-19 vaccines. Can we get transparency in this domain? We are demanding and getting transparency in so many other medical domains. Why is it that when it's a vaccine, the deaths are secret, the data is secret? We want to see it. And I guess their excuse is always to say, well, if we tell people, it's going to be misinterpreted and lead to misinformation on the social media. But first, you could have had misinformation on other subjects like pharmaceuticals, and perhaps that misinformation turns out to be the truth, as is the case for, the fentanyl crisis in the US and how the companies that have participated to it have now been found guilty of inducing fentanyl dependence in the population. So sometimes misinformation, as you declare it at the beginning, turns out to be the final truth. So how about you release transparently everything you know, the FDA about vaccines, and we're going to be the judge. It's always been like this. America doesn't have to trust an expert class to interpret facts like this. We want to know if there was a pattern in those deaths where they were dying probably from heart-related stuff, you know, the kind of thing that we know are associated with the vaccine. That would be extremely useful information for the public. White. Since $31, he says, what about a phrase like this? Genetics shape culture. Who thrives in the culture passes on their genetics. Well, I mean, have you read my book? Because I clarify all of these questions very well in my book. Let me read you the part where I'm commenting on these things. I'm going to have to find it. Shouldn't be too long. Should we, like Blackmore, credit the evolution of the human brain to culture itself rather than natural selection of the DNA genes that form it? Is this question semantic, or is it pointing to a valid, fundamental interrogation? Listen to this. It is undeniable that culture modifies the environment in which genes evolve, and genes in turn modify human culture. At first glance, it may seem like we can arbitrarily view the issue from either perspective. So the initial view that a lot of people had and that I don't have is this kind of symmetric view between the genes and culture. Oh, well, the genes influence culture and culture influence genes. I say, however, on this view, this conclusion is premature. Until we can figure out answers to the following questions. Is there any criterion by which we can conclude that when two replicators reside within the same organism, one is evolving for the other? Or are we bound to answer instead that every element influences every element? Is there a robust criterion by which we may say that in the tango between genes and memes, one of the two is a replicator, while the other is its phenotypic machine? Similarly, when it comes to modern organism, is there a criterion by which we may declare DNA a replicator and RNA its faithful phenotypic machine? More generally, when two replicators live together in the same organism, how do we determine which one is subject to natural selection? So the book goes on to make the case that genes have an advantage, an asymmetry toward memes, and it's that genes print memes. Genes modify memes at will. Memes do not modify genes at will. Memes select genes. Whatever gene shows up will be selected by culture, but they cannot jungle with memes. They cannot jungle with genes. They cannot print them. They cannot select one letter of DNA and say, I'm changing this one. Whereas the genes, they pretty much can do this with memes, in the sense that if you have a gene that makes it such that sexual taboos exist in your head, you're not going to pass sentences that are sexual references. And if that gene is punishing, it's going to disappear. And if it's advantageous, it's going to spread in the population. So genes have the ability to mold culture. So when you say genetics shape culture, who thrives in the culture passes on their gene. That is correct. I had to reread it to integrate it properly. That is correct. But the fact that genes shape culture is very different from how culture shapes genetics, because culture shapes genetics through selection. Culture can say, all right, well, everyone who's too hot-headed will be punished because they won't have babies, because they will pick fights and they will die in those fights. So if you have a culture of hot-headedness, the people who tend to be attracted to that culture will get evolutionarily punished and they will disappear. Now that's selection, but culture didn't ever in the past, but might in the future, but in the past, culture never developed a printing strategy toward genes. So it's never been the case that people are on Facebook and they compare their 23andMe and they say, all right, let's kick out that letter of DNA and put this one instead before making babies. If you had a culture like this, you would have a culture of printing. But when you say genetics shape culture, actually what's important is that genetics print culture. And if you want to know what printing is, exactly defined and everything, just read The Revolutionary Phenotype. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He says, JF, the other day I asked a question, but I think you got sidetracked. If you thought TRP would regulate DNA back to the same stable data storage responsibility that the RNA queens originally created for it, or would it be tasked with other responsibilities? Well, you have to understand that when you get up one layer in phenotypic revolutions, the down layer doesn't revert to becoming a storage. It never becomes a storage again. The higher layer is always the one making up the storage. So when DNA made a phenotypic revolution against RNA, DNA was just a storage at first and eventually started self-replicating. There's never a point at which RNA is made to be a storage again. That would be a reversal of a phenotypic revolution. And we've been discussing those possibilities theoretically in the private Patreon hangout. But I don't think that it can happen. I don't think a reversal like this would happen only in circumstances very rare where the earlier replicator turns out to eventually, due to a new environment, becoming better again. But in normal environments that are relatively unchanging and relatively unidirectional, I would expect that the DNA is storage, and then the DNA converts to self-replicator, and that's forever. And RNA is then a phenotypic machine. It is not storage. RNA is just deploying the actions of DNA in the world. When a revolutionary phenotype shows up above DNA, that revolutionary phenotype will be a storage for a moment, and eventually it will use DNA as to output into the world. But DNA will never become a storage again if that revolutionary phenotype makes it to self-replication. Ariel Soares says, can you please display the article again, JF? FDA withholding autopsy results on people who died after getting COVID-19 vaccine. That was the article. La CAQ leader defends paying millions to U.S. consulting firm during the pandemic. $6.6 million paid for advice helped save lives, François Legault says. So this is modern politics. Delegation. Delegation is the devil. Delegation is a satanic force. For everything in the legal, political, economic, business domain. The problem is we have politicians without balls who don't understand that they've been trusted. And then they've been trusted to take all decisions that relate to society. And then they're like, oh no, I need experts because this is an expert subject. And you get stuck into the technocrat, managerial, satanic, pedophile, whatever is the operating system there that I can perceive that is influencing our nations. They get into control through delegation. It's because you abandon your responsibility and you say, oh, I'm going to trust these people here. I'm paying them, so they must be objective. Well, no. They will end up telling you the worst possible policies just because they want to be safe. Oh, we want to do the safest thing. Well, look, they've done this in the US. We have to do it too. You end up with an exaggeration, a systemic exaggeration of the expansion of the technocratic state, because a delegated power will always revert to the most costly, the least sensical, the most expensive way for the state to expand its powers and develop a feeling of safety, a false feeling of safety. Firestarter says, Jeff, are you rejecting the free market of politics? Well, when you mix politics with the free market, you end up having a problem, which is the problem that politics was designed to have rulers to which we consent. And then you have a delegation that shifts the balance of power toward a ruler that you've never elected. So definitely, there's no free market to be had there. You, when I entrust a ruler with power, and I'm not saying that I believe in democracy or whatever, but let's work within the framework of democracy. I am supposedly entrusting an elected representative to power. I don't want this elected representative didn't inherit of a property. His vote is not a property. He cannot sell it. He cannot exchange it. He cannot surreptitiously slide it to someone else. That is not transferable. See, political power shouldn't be transferable. Certainly not according to this kind of secret arrangement. Pfizer CEO bails on EU testimony after report highlights secretive vaccine deal. My God, we were supposed to have a testimony of this guy. Now he learns that he's going to be roughly questioned and that he's going to get exposed for having all these secretive deals with these countries, and suddenly, oh, he's not going to show up for the testimony. So, I mean, there should never be a secretive deal between a pharmaceutical and a country. Certainly not one that totally, dominates over the rights of individuals and totally messes the rights of businesses in a country. What is this? How could this happen, that there were secretive vaccine deals between Pfizer and countries? They basically took our politicians and made them sign away our rights. This should never happen. Any contractual obligation of the government should always be public. There is no such thing as a private contract with the government. Are you kidding me? The government could sell our rights, our individual rights, under the table. It would never be subject to transparency. We could never know. We could never contest it in court. We have to completely redo these governmental principles and just say, you know what? Everything is going to be public. Everything. Like, even your little chat at the Tim Hortons. All right, guys. That's pretty much it for the news today. People are saying F. Yeah, I feel that the Odyssey platform is shaky tonight. So anyways, I was headed toward the end. Just wanted to share. Hopefully we will be back online as I share the video of the Tesla Optimus robot.
Is real, and Elon Musk wants to sell it to you for $20,000. We got our first look at the so-called Tesla bot at Tesla's 2022 AI Day, essentially a big showcase of the work the company is doing in robotics, AI, and driverless technology. Elon Musk, Tesla's Optimus robot.
So that's the robot.
Is real, and Elon Musk wants to sell it to you for $20,000. We got our first look at the so-called Tesla bot at Tesla's 2020.
Okay, so Deadstar says, we're back. White. Sent $21 and he said, F. Well, thank you so much. I was saying that I'm headed toward the conclusion of the show, but I just wanted to share those little images of the Tesla robot. Listen, this is subpar. This is subpar. Like many things that Elon Musk does, it has this shiny mirage of next level, but this is not where robotics is at right now. Robotics is a little ahead of this, and yet Elon Musk is trying to excuse the primitivity of this robotics by saying, oh yeah, you know, we have a very special design that makes it super easy to mass produce, and our goal is mass production. Okay. But concerns about production should come when you have a product that's workable. Right now, you have a robot that has difficulty walking without a tether, and Elon Musk was pointing out it's the first time it's walking without a tether, and it walked very slowly. Doesn't seem to have much balancing counter-reaction. Doesn't seem to be particularly efficient. All of this for a relatively complex build. And I see the rotation axis here. Very just a circular axis. Listen, Elon Musk still has plenty of work to do. Unfortunately, Elon Musk is exploring so many avenues in his research. I think he's getting scammed. I think you have postdocs that come from these labs that do better than this. And they're like, yeah, we can reproduce this here. And they never reproduce quite as good. You know, the brain chip of Elon Musk, not up to standards, still in animal research where we have more evolved chips in the US. The robot of Elon Musk, still not to the standard of Boston Dynamics. Firestarter says, Musk is the scam, Jeff. Maybe I'm making excuses for Musk here by seeing him as the victim of a scam. Maybe he's the scam artist himself. Very well seen. Thank you so much for watching, and I will see you all tomorrow. Deadstar says, the main takeaway from AI Day was the advanced computers Tesla has created. I know nothing about computers, however, so I don't know whether to be impressed or not. I didn't see it. I'll have to check the details. But with Elon Musk, if the brain chip was scammy, if this robot is scammy, the cars are overpriced. What are the chances that Elon Musk came up with some new computer? Thank you.